Good morning. Let's have a prayer, and then we will turn back to chapter 17 in the book of Judges and look again at what we were talking about the last time we were in here, and then just keep moving from there. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your goodness, your mercy and your grace, for being the all-sufficient God. Now, Lord, we have come and gathered with certain portions of the Word of God before us. We ask that you help us as we consider these words which have been recorded for our learning, that we may indeed learn from them and through that process be more conformed through the image of him who is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray with thanks in his name. Amen. Okay, so basically what I want to do is go back and look again at chapter 17 in Judges. And the last time I read through and said, well, we identify a lot of problems in the book. And by problem, I was primarily referring to the idea that Israel and the children of Israel had certain things that they should have been doing. There were certain things they shouldn't have been doing. And there were certain things they were doing. And identify several problems. And I'm going to hit a few cross-references this time in relation to some of these issues here, and just raise some questions about what we see happening in the text. We saw in the first, well, basically, the way this chapter has a verse 6, which says that in those days there was no king in Israel, that every man did what was right in his own eyes. So we have that portion which comes before that, and then a portion which comes after that. And I think I may have said that this statement seems to be, in some sense, a summary statement of what the whole situation was that we are considering here. So, in the first part, we see a theft that has taken place. That was Micah having stolen from his mother. It says here for us, 1,100 shekels of silver. We don't know exactly how much that would be translated to our currency, but it was many thousands of dollars from what I understand. So it was a lot of money. In fact, someone noted that even the 200 pieces that she gave for the building or the making of the idols would have been several thousand dollars. So it was a large amount of money that was involved there. But theft, obviously theft is a sin, and in our jurisprudence it's also a crime. And so this man had committed this. His mother issued a curse. Micah's mother issued a curse. And Micah heard the curse. And then, having heard that, he made the confession to say to his mother that he himself was the thief. Strange. Well, there is, and that is really the point. And I think I think one way to answer that would be to say that the answer is in verse 6. She was indeed a strange woman, and she was doing strange things that didn't comport with what she should have been doing. So there were problems with what she was doing. So, but then once she found out who the thief was, if that thief had been someone other than her son, and she had known who that person was, what do you think would have happened? Even if that person had come and said, well, I'm the thief. You see, the normal discourse, you wouldn't expect the next thing to be a blessing. And our jurisprudence doesn't work that way either. I mean, people get, sometimes they confess and come forward and say, well, you know, I'm the thief who did it, or the culprit. But there still is a consequence that comes with it, having done it. And the consequence is not that now you would get a blessing. Bless you. Well, you've done the wrong thing, and there are penalties for doing wrong. You need to pay the penalty for having done that. But she said, no, blessings on you. So she wanted him to be blessed. So that is, like what you're saying, what she's doing is really completely out of character to what she should have been doing. Right. But even, right, so that being as big of a problem as it is, an even bigger problem is what she said regarding the money itself. Because she said, I had wholly dedicated this money to the Lord. So that was her profession. The profession of her lips was that this money was set aside for the Lord, as she said here, dedicated in verse 1, I had wholly dedicated the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son. He said, to make a carved image and a molded image. Now, to make a carved image and a molded image, what was the idea there? Where in Israel's scriptures were they told that they should make molded images, carved images? Where in the revelation to Israel was that said to them that that's what they should be doing? Well, and I said it that way because they were told explicitly to not do that. But she said, I wholly dedicated it to the Lord. And then she says, this idea of building idols with it. So as we look at it, it seems pretty clear to us as to what is going on here. This obviously is not proper worship in God's eyesight. So the idol worship was forbidden. Now we see more things related to Micah, and we talked about those last time too. Because after the idols or those things were made, now verse 5 we see quite a few items. And it says the man Micah had a shrine. We mentioned that the last time. So a shrine, what does this involve? The idea that he had a house of gods. Somebody used the word counterfeit worship last time. I think that was Brother Dan who said that. Counterfeit worship or whatever. But so it says here, made a shrine, he made an ephod, and he had household idols, and he consecrated one of his sons to become his priest. So this is clearly setting up a worship setting, but it is not according to what is supposed to be done there. Yes, ma'am. Right. Right. That's right. So each one has responsibility. Each one is culpable. And that's, I think, what you're saying. He also is culpable for his actions and what he's doing. And instead, he made the ephod. The ephod we talked about last time, and that there are a couple of different ways that we saw the ephod referenced in our scriptures. Let's just flip back to chapter 8 and verse 27. and pick up a couple of those. I just made mention last time. I did look at the actual verses on that. But if you look at chapter 8 and verse 27, it says, Gideon made it into an ephod and set it up in his city, Ophrah, and all Israel played the harlot with it there. It became a snare to Gideon and to his house. So that reference, the ephod was used as in an idolatrous way. It was an object of worship. It was a misuse of an ephod. We see a similar use of that in chapter 18 and in verse 14. Then the five men, and we're going to be getting there soon, who had gone to spy out the country of Laish, answered and said to their brethren, "Do you know that there are in these houses an ephod, household gods, a carved image, molded image? Now therefore consider what you should do." So the idolatrous use. But look at go back to Exodus and look at chapter 18. Now in chapter 18, let's see, have I gotten the right verse here? I was looking for the ephod being used as a garment of the priest. And the second reference I had was Exodus 28:15. Let me look there first. Since that other one, I don't see what I'm looking for. Oh, okay, 28:15 in Exodus. "You shall make the breastplate of judgment artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it of gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, woven linen. You shall make it." So the idea was that there was a proper use for an ephod. And it was a priestly garment. So there were two different things that were done with it. As a priestly garment in a proper order, that was a thing that was a good thing. Obviously, using it in an idolatrous way was a bad thing. But now, yes, ma'am. Well, it's a priestly garment that covers basically the chest area. But they made it into a bronze thing when they use it for idolatrous purposes. I think is that right, brother? Yeah. Yeah, there may be some other right object of what was done there. So, now look at chapter 3 of Numbers. And in there, it talks about the Levites and what they were doing or supposed to do. "You shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to their priesthood. But the outsider comes near shall be put to death." So there was to be a priesthood. And God has specified who was to hold the office of priesthood. What we see here in Judges chapter 17 is Micah consecrating a priest. Who is the priest that he's consecrated? One of his sons. Is his son a proper priest? The word that I used before, I'll use it again. Did that man qualify as a priest? He didn't qualify. But Micah was willing to consecrate him. But another question, though, to back it up, was Micah qualified to consecrate him as a priest? Well, he wasn't qualified to do that either. So, as we say here then, there are a lot of things that are going on here that are wrong. So you say, well, how is it that they get so many things wrong? Is it because God didn't provide to them an opportunity to know what they should have been doing? That would be an easy way out. To say, well, it's God's fault because he didn't provide for me the information I needed. But that always is a wrong answer. And to go back to verse 6, the last part of that says, every man was doing what was right in his own eyes. Or another way of putting it was, everybody was doing whatever they wanted to do. So Micah has some religious ideas. He has some religious thoughts. He has some religious concerns. But his brother, Dr. Younger, said last time, but God is concerned about worship. And so because he's concerned about worship, he gave very explicit information as to how the worship was supposed to be done. He gave very explicit details to Israel about what they were to do and about a lot of things that they were not supposed to do or that they were forbidden to do. So the information was available to them. One of the things that we consider is when we observe what goes on in our own day and in our own lives, there are things that we do or people around us do. There's a critical question with regard to those things. Are those things things that we ought to be doing? Are those things things that God commanded us to do? Are those things things that God allows us to do? Are they things which God explicitly forbids us from doing? All kinds of things that we do. Now, the Lord's table was mentioned last time we were here. So we come here to the Lord's table. And the Lord said, there is a way that I want to be remembered. And this is the way. This bread, this cup, do this in remembrance of me. So when we come to do that, what are we doing? When we do that, we're not complying with verse 6 in Judges 17. It is not an occasion of every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. When we do that, we're doing what the Lord commanded us to do. And that's a good thing. God commanded how the priests were to be selected, what they were supposed to do, and he laid it all out. So that there could not be a problem to think, oh, this Ephraimite can be a priest. Well, God said no to that. So to defy that and say, well, yes, he's going to be a priest, is pretty bold opposition to God and what he's commanded. And I think sometimes when we look and check ourselves out, we find ourselves sometimes doing things and we have to fall upon our knees and say, Lord, you were explicit about that. That wasn't a guessing thing, or sometimes we like to say a shady area or a gray area. Sometimes we like to use that phrase, you know, to give ourselves a little bit of a leeway to say, you know. Yeah. But God didn't look at it that way. So we had this Levite then who had come to this area, to where Micah was. Now, I want to focus a little bit on this Levite because we can raise a lot of questions here. God made an appointment for the Levites. The Levites had responsibilities, and God made a provision as to how they were to be cared for, what they were supposed to be doing with regard to the priesthood, carrying out functions related to the tabernacle and all that sort of thing. So God made some provisions for that. And I want to go back and check off a few other references with regard to that, the priesthood and what was supposed to be done. In Exodus chapter 28, verse 1, "Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as a priest, Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar." Now, God made appointment for those particular men to be priests. Now, turn to Leviticus chapter 10. Now, you saw that there were four names there that God said, these are to be priests. So those men then properly had an appointment of God. When we read in chapter 10 of Leviticus, this is what it says here. "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went up from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." So here, the problem wasn't whether or not the men qualified to be priests. These men were. So they were in a better position than what Micah's priest was, his son. But in the case, or this Levite who came along and was not of Aaron's descent. But even being a priest, the priest doesn't get to do what he wants to do in his own eyes. The priest, it says here, they offered profane fire. And the Lord said, that's not what I told you to do. So God held them accountable for what he wanted them to do. I have another cross-reference I want us to look at in chapter 3 in the book of Numbers. Now, these are the records of Aaron and Moses when the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab, the firstborn of Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priest, whom he consecrated to minister as priest. Now, you see that word, whom he consecrated to minister as priest. The one who is going to serve as a priest, needed to be consecrated. Micah knew that much. He took it upon himself to do it. But it says here, but Nadab and Abihu, which we just read, had died before the Lord when they offered profane fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. So Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priests in the presence of Aaron, their father. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him. Now he's talking about the appointment of the Levites and what they were responsible to do. It says here, and they shall attend to his needs and the needs of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of meeting, to do the work of the tabernacle. And they shall attend to all the furnishings of the tabernacle of meeting and the needs of the children of Israel to do the work of the tabernacle. So that's what was laid out for the Levites to do. Now, in verse number 7, it says here, back in Numbers chapter 17, Judges 17, a young man from Bethlehem in Judah, of the family of Judah. He was a Levite, and he was staying there. He departed, and then in verse 8, he came to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah. And so Micah asked him where he had come from, and he told him all that. So we have this Levite. What was he doing? Going about looking for a place to live. What had happened? What was going on here? Was there a place where he should have been, and were there things that he should have been doing? I think we prove that from Scripture, that the Levite was out of place to be where he was. And he was offered a job. The job was to serve as a priest. Did he know he wasn't qualified? Did Micah know he wasn't qualified? We know the answer. They have to know. I would say they had to know. And therefore, there you are. And what is sin? I think you just defined it. I think you just defined what sin is. They knew, but they didn't care enough to do the right thing. And that was sin. God had made special provisions for the Levite. So the Levite accepts a job for which he's not qualified involving the priesthood. I would think that would be a very dangerous thing. Just the thought of usurping a place like that where you're supposed to be in relation to God in the right way and to usurp that when you don't belong in that spot. That to me is a very dangerous thing. But that's what he did. So he accepted this job. This young Levite, and said, well, you're going to provide for me, I'll work for you. So the text doesn't tell us what was going on in the area from which this Levite had come. It doesn't tell us whether the problem was a breakdown in terms of what the provisions that were supposed to be available to them, and that maybe if those weren't available, he had to make provision for himself. It doesn't tell us if that was a problem or if he wasn't satisfied with the provisions that were available to him and decided, well, I want to live on a higher plane. I go out and find and make way for myself. Perhaps that could have been what his motivation was. It doesn't tell us, I think, explicitly why he was doing what he was doing. Yes, sir. What he was offered. Okay. Right. Well, that's good. That's an enormous amount of money. Right. Right. You know, that is very interesting when you put it in that context, because we know that there could be a problem as far as money and morals, the love of money being a root of all evil or something like that. So it's easy. You will say, well, how many would, knowing they're not qualified, but seeing somebody perfectly willing to give them all of that to perform a function for which they're not qualified, how many people would say, oh, sure, I'll take it? Well, if the person's not saved, you can be pretty sure the vast majority will say, I'll take it. And if a person is saved and in desperate conditions, they will be tempted to take it. So that's good, brother. I appreciate that. So now, I'm sorry, go ahead. Right. Yeah, money. But the, right. Yeah, a lot of people think money is perhaps the most important thing there is while we're here in the life. And they'll do anything to get it. And when they're gone, they'll leave it all behind. And it would not have been worth it. But now, we get now to the latter part here, where, so once the Levite comes along, and Micah says, well, a Levite, so I'll just make him now my priest. And then he consecrates this Levite, so now he's consecrated, again, another man who's not qualified. I mean, he dig himself farther in. But he was doing what was right, or doing whatever he wanted to do. And he consecrated another priest. And so the young man became his priest in verse number 12. And he lived in the house of Micah. And then Micah said, now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since I have been a Levite. I have a Levite as a priest. Now think about that for a minute. When God made certain promises to the Israelites when they were going into the land of promise, God made promises to them regarding their material prosperity, their well-being in the land, their ability to stay in the land. God made specific promises about that. So if they wanted to be in the land and be prosperous in the land and to stay in the land, God says, I'm telling you exactly explicitly what you need to do to accomplish that. So what was that? What did he tell them they needed to do? I'm sorry? That gives a good summary of it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. See, what God required of them was merely obedience to him. And he says, if you will do that, then I'll take care of you. I will see to your needs. I will not allow you to be pushed out of this land if you will obey me. But if not, then you're going to have problems, because God says he wasn't going to be happy with the disobedience. But not just that he was going to punish the disobedience. And so they had a choice to make whether to do it or not. But this man comes, Micah says, I'm expecting good things to happen to me. Why? Not because of his obedience to God. Not because of his adherence to what God has said for him to do. But he says, because I have a priest. I have a priest who is a Levite. And that's supposed to bring good to me. He didn't mention that I have a priest who's not qualified to be a priest. He didn't mention that I consecrated a priest when I wasn't qualified to do it. He didn't mention all of that. He just says, I have a Levite priest. So he's saying, what did Pastor use the word last time? A rabbit's foot. he has a good luck charm. Obviously, he was way off the mark as to what he was doing. He was looking for good from the Lord, but it was in explicit, direct disobedience to what the Lord had commanded of him and required. Yes, brother. Look very pious one day a week and smile at the saints and then just live like the low part of the world the rest of the week and then come and do it again. Yeah, that is a real problem. And, you know, and I think some of us have seen people who really seem to have that in to more of an extent than people who just do some things they should be doing, you know, sometimes. I mean, I've seen the people who, it surprised me, the things they would mix. But I'm sure you all have too. Yes, ma'am. Right. Right. Yeah, all kinds of problems that are being created. And it's all because I think verse 6 is a good summary of it. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. He just did whatever he wanted to do and said, well, it doesn't matter. Well, we see this in the national way. We see this normally among unsaved people. They say, you know, we talk about certain moral issues that we take a certain stand on, and we take that because God has made it clear to us through the scriptures what certain things are and are not. And so we'll take that position. But other people will take a position that will be opposite of that. And they will call the moral thing, what God calls moral, they'll call that immoral. And what God calls moral, what we call, you know, the opposite one, they call good evil and good evil. Good evil and bad good. That's what I'm trying to say. Call the good evil and the bad good. And we see it all the time. If you have read the media at all, you see it all the time. But anyway, we're here because we don't want to follow along and do that. We want to be more sensitive to what God wants than that, so that we'll be pleasing to him. Let's have a closing prayer here. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave to us this time to consider what is here in the word of the Lord. And we know that we have responsibility for what has been given to us. And we ask for your help so that we might comply and do and not submit to the one who is our adversary, but draw nigh to God that he might draw nigh to us. We ask in the name of Christ, our Savior, with thanksgiving. Amen.